going to get started. And is Hebrew read upside down?
Yeah, you have to turn it the other way.
Okay.
Whoever did it was testing you.
Ah.
Make sure you're the rabbi.
Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this service. Thank you for your grace, Lord. We need your grace. And grace is what carries us through when we can't carry ourselves. Grace is when you give us gifts we don't deserve and don't give us what we do deserve. Thank you, Lord. And I forget what mercy is, but we'll just stick with grace. Thank you for grace, Lord. In Yeshua's name. You know, there's a lot of times I've been ministering for 21 years, been through 47 states, Canada, England, South Africa, and Hawaii, ministered 6 nights a week and twice on Sunday at times in my life. And sometimes I really didn't feel like doing it, you know. And God said, just get up there and do it. He says, that's not a feeling. You just do it, you know. And that's something that applies not just to ministry, applies to our lives, you know. Your mother, you don't just take care of your children because you feel like it. You don't just go to work because you feel like it. You do it. You just get up and do it. All right, enough sermon. Let's go. I feel like it.
I'm not plugged in completely. I'm sorry.
Dawn's not plugged in completely.
My pedal.
Her pedal. She needs to put her pedal to the metal. Well, we had a wonderful night last night with Marty Goetz. How many of you had a good time, right? Just clap your hands if you enjoyed Marty Goetz. Praise the Lord. It was an awesome night, wasn't it? For those watching at home, I'll tell you later where you can watch the concert if you want to.
We have been raised up with Messiah. We are seeking the
we're going to shine with him in glory. Amen. And Rabbi's going to blow the Wendell's going to blow the shofar. So let's all stand and hear the shofar. Let's bless the Messiah. We welcome him here. Amen. And his name is Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. And Jesus is that name in English. Yeshua is the Hebrew name. And we bless him today and we welcome the Holy Spirit. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu edorecha Yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell in the place where your glory resides.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
V'shamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. B'nei u'b'nei b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. B'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'yet haaretz, v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i Shabbat v'inafash,
Shabbat v'inafash,
Shabbat v'inafash,
v'shamru
b'nei Yisrael
et ha-shabbat,
la'sod
et ha-shabbat
le'dorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat,
observing it throughout their
generations
as an everlasting covenant.
It is
a
sign
between me
and
the
children
of Israel
forever.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth,
and
on the seventh
day
he
rested
and was refreshed.
And
it shall come
to
pass
that
from one new
moon
to another,
and
from one
Shabbat
to another,
all
flesh
shall
come
to
worship before
me,
says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we sing to Jerusalem. For Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
For the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee, says your word in Psalm 122, verse 6, Lord. Father, we just thank you for Israel, for the nation of Israel, the state of Israel. Thank you, Lord, that you're gathering your people back. They're not all gathered yet. And we thank you, Lord, that we are part of it, that we're among those Jews, Messianic Jews, and Christians who will be going to the land one day soon, I believe. And I really believe one day soon. Those who want to go, and those who desire, and those who are obedient will go to the land and dwell. And that you will gather us on the two wings of the great eagle. You will fly us to Israel, Lord. We just give you the praise and the glory, and that you're going to open the doors for us, Lord, to go and live in the Holy Land, Lord. Make a way for us. That you're going to break down the bars of bronze and the gates of iron, and that you're going to make a way, part the sea, a way where there is none, Lord, for Jew and Gentile who love your people, love your land, to come and dwell there. Lord, I pray, you know, Israel gets blamed, Lord. She has the scapegoat. The world has a scapegoat spirit toward Israel. And I bind that spirit of the scapegoat where the world blames Israel for all its problems. And even North Korea is blaming Israel for its bind that it's got itself into, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that you defend Israel from that scapegoat spirit, Lord, And Israel is not the cause. Israel has been sanctioned over 60 times in the United Nations, whereas ISIS, the only other terror group that's ever been sanctioned is ISIS. I think, and they've been sanctioned once or twice. Just goes to show you how the UN operates. So, Lord, you know the injustice, but we know your word says you sit enthroned above the heavens, and the Lord laughs at the kings of the earth. You laugh at them, Lord, and their folly. We praise you for what you're going to do. Open the eyes of your people, Israel. Let the scales fall off, Lord. Help them to see their Messiah, Yeshua, the Lamb of God, the Nazarene, the one from Nazareth. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you for the Messianic congregations around the country and around the world. I pray for the rabbis today and their services. I pray for their strength. Pray for their health. I pray for their wealth. I pray, Lord, for their finances, for their challenges that they're facing. And they have to get up week after week in front of people and minister, even when they're struggling. Lord, they have to get up and do their job. And I thank you that you help them, that you encourage them, Lord, and that you strengthen them, that you meet their needs, and that you give them boldness, that you give them a bold prophetic spirit, Lord, to be not to shrivel back and shrink back, Lord, but to stand for the truth. I pray for the leaders, our executive committee and Joel Chernoff, that they would walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, boldly walking in truth and not lording it over the little guys, Lord, that they would be just walking in humility and righteousness and justice. And that's what you require of us. What does the Lord thy God require of thee but walking humbly before the Lord thy God, showing mercy and loving our Lord? Thank you, Father. Remove the scales from the Jews among the diaspora, Lord. I pray for Mother today for her salvation and my family and all our Jewish friends, Lord, that you remove the scales from their eyes. In Yeshua's mighty name, and I pray for our president today and his family as they've been under disgusting attack with that sick head that was shown, you know, I don't know if you all know about it, but anyway, somebody, some sicko had an image of holding his head like it was cut off, and it's a good thing she was fired from pretty much every job she had. Foul person. The Bible calls people like that a worthless character, but the word also says we're all made in your image. So I guess there's hope even for her, Lord, that she can be saved. That she can be saved, Lord. We just give you the praise, Lord. In Yeshua's name, even save her, Lord. Save her. But thank you, Lord, for bringing justice. And strengthen our president. Strengthen our government, Lord. Strengthen, help him to solidify his leadership and help people to give him a chance to govern, Lord. If they don't respect the man, at least respect the office of the President of the United States. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. I want to pray for Charlie. Charlie's not feeling well today, so I'm going to ask Anthony and Wendell and maybe Deborah and Maria to come gather around Charlie and anoint him. And he's hurting today. If you would do that. There's oil down there. If you want to ask me how I really feel sometimes, just feel free. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Charlie, I have 200 pounds of groceries in the back of my car. Would you mind grabbing those? Take Wendell with you.
Hey, Wendell, put that oil back on the little thing. Thank you.
Shalom Alecha, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach Elyon, Mi-Melech, Melech HaMlachim, HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Ruach HaShalom, Ruach HaShalom, Blessed One, come draw nigh. Let Your peace be on us, Ruach HaKodesh, Spirit of the Most High. Come now upon us from the Holy King of Kings. O Blessed One, come draw nigh. Holy stirring, yearning to be one with You. Clothed with Your Spirit, blazing with Your fire, clinging only to You. Seal Your holy love upon my temple, pour Your name like perfume on my soul. Your chambers. I'll hold you and I will not let you go.
So I'll stand for the Shema.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai. Ukishartam liot al yadecha, Bahayulototafot bene necha, Ulchatavtam al mizazot betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of His glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Isaac and Wendell to carry the Torah. Can you do that, Isaac? Okay. Isaac's a man. He's a Renaissance man. He can do many things. Let's give it up for Isaac.
Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imlok Leolam Baher, Adonai Oms Leomo Yitain, Adonai Barech et Amo Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, to dwell in unity. Hey, la la la, la 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 la. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la
kam yahar hinay mato hinay mato la 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 hinay mato hinay mato la 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 la.
Praise Him because He saved your soul. Give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Vayahi ben Soharom Vayem Moshe Kuna Adonai Yifutsu Hoy Becha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki mitzion tetzeh Torah, ki mitzion tetzeh Torah, udavar Adonai mi Yerushalayim, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, le'amo Yisrael bidushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people, Israel. This time, instead of the usual drosh, we're going to have our liturgy for Shavuot. And if Anthony would come, do you have a Bible with you? And we're going to start out with, if everybody has your inserts, instead of passing out all the books, which we do have now, praise the Lord. For the holidays, I've got a whole set of books for the holidays, but it was just a couple pages, so I made a copy, so it's nice and simple for us. But if Rabbi will lead us in the first, let's turn to page 225. And the Hebrew is on the 224, Joe. If you'd like to lead us maybe in one paragraph, and then we'll just say together the English. And this is the Amidah Scriptures, and it's our prayer on 24.
Batiten lanu Adonai Eloheinu v'ahava v'sabtot limnucha moadim l'shimcha hagim uzmanim l'sason et yom hashavat hazeh v'et yom chag hashavot hazeh Zman Matan Tortenu Mikra Kodesh Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim.
Let's all stand and sing, say together, and Anthony, you can lead.
And you gave us in love, O Lord our God, Shabbats for rest,
holidays for gladness, festivals and seasons for rejoicing.
You granted us this Shabbat day and this feast of weeks,
the season of the giving of our Torah,
and a holy gathering commemorating our liberation from Egypt. Our God and our God of our fathers, remember us and accept us as you remember our fathers. Jerusalem, your holy city, all your people, the house of Israel,
but especially Messiah, the Son of David, through whom you bring deliverance and well-being, grace, faithful love, and mercy, life and peace on this day of the Feast of Weeks. Remember us this day, O Lord our God, for our good and for our life of blessing, according to your promise of salvation and mercy. Deliver us and be gracious to us. Have compassion on us and spare us. To you we look, to you are a gracious and compassionate God and King. God, O Lord our God, bestow on us the blessings of your festivals for life and peace, for joy and gladness, even as you graciously promised to bless us. Our God and God of our fathers, accept our rest. Hallow us through your commandments. Grant our portion of your Torah. Shower us with your goodness and gladden us with your salvation. Purify our hearts to serve you truthfully in your loving favor. O Lord our God, enable us joyfully and gladly to inherit your holy Sabbath and festivals. And may Israel, who reveres you, rejoice in you. Deserving of praise are you, O Lord, who hallows the Sabbath and Israel and the festivals.
Amen. And at this time, we're going to just have a few readings from the scripture, from the Torah. And the first one is... Rabbi, if you'll just choose.
Okay. Well, first, you're talking about below here, the scripture readings? Buzz, would you like to come up and read?
If you'll mind, Exodus.
That's okay. You can do it, speak in tongues. It's Pentecost. Maria, would you like to come and read? I'm teasing you, but don't worry about it. You can speak. I'm just having fun with you.
No. I bit my tongue 5 times with my sweet wet my clay for my tongue.
The devil was coming against you speaking in tongues. He was trying to take your tongue. Amen. And we'll pray for you, okay? We need somebody to come. Maria, would you like to come and read? You don't like them. Okay.
I'll read it.
Deborah, would you come and read?
Okay.
We'll go up the line.
Have you got Exodus 19? Exodus 19:3, and he'll get it for you.
There's Diane, my strong reader.
Where my glasses? Yeah, here it is.
3.
Three to 20.
Okay,
three.
Try his glasses, because he's probably reading
that. 3, okay. Moshe went up to God,
and Adonai called to him from the mountain. Here is what you are to say to the household of Yaakov, to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. And these are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. Moshe came and summoned the leaders of the people and presented them with all these words which Adonai had ordered him to say. And all the people answered as one, everything Adonai has said, he will do. He will do. Moshe reported the words of the people to Adonai. Adonai said to Moshe, see, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, so the people will be able to hear. And when I speak with you, and also to trust in you forever. Moshe had told Adonai what the people had said. So Adonai said to Moshe, go to the people today and tomorrow and separate them for me, for by having them wash their clothing and prepare for the third day. For on the third day, Adonai will come down on the Mount Sinai before the eye of all the people. You are to set limits for the people all around Sinai before the eyes of all the people. You are to set limits for the people all around and say, be careful not to go up the mountain or even touch in space. Whoever touches the mountain will surely be put to death. No hand is to touch him, for he must be stoned or shot by arrows. Neither animal nor human will be allowed to live. When the shofar sounds, they may go up on the mountain. Moshe went down from the mountain to the people and separated the people for God, and they washed their clothing. He said to the people, prepare the third day and don't approach a woman. On the morning on the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud of the mountain. And then the shofar blast sounded so loudly that all the people in the camp trembled. Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood near the base of the mountain, and Mount Sinai was enveloped in smoke, because Adonai descended unto it in fire. Oops, sorry. Its smoke went up like the smoke from a furnace. And while the mountain shook violently as the sound of the shofar grew louder and louder, and Moshe spoke, and God answered him with a voice. Adonai came down onto the Mount Sinai in the top of the mountain. And then Adonai called Moshe to the top of the mountain. And Moshe went up. Adonai said to Moshe, oh, is that it? Sorry. Sorry. I did it. I couldn't read the blur. Praise. But thank you. Praise God. And thank you for that.
Hallelujah. Give it up for
Hallelujah.
The work.
All right.
Thank you, Deborah.
Diane, would you come and read the next one?
We're going to read Joel 2:28-32. No,
she didn't. Oh, sorry. Let's see what the number is.
Joel 2:28-32. Joel, yeah, just.
After this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And also on male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the sky and on earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of Adonai. At that time, whoever calls on the name of Adonai will be saved. For in Mount Tzion and Yerushalayim, there will be those who escape as Adonai had promised. Among the survivors will those whom Adonai has called.
Amen. That doesn't quite, you're right, it doesn't quite match. So I'm not sure
which
how far we
okay.
I'll just go for another two or three.
For then at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Adonai judges. Jehoshaphat means Adonai judges. I will enter into judgment there for my people, my heritage Israel, whom they scattered among the nations. Then they divided my land. They drew lots for my people, traded boys for whores, sold girls for wine to drink.
Amen. All right. Give it up for Diane. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And one more. And I would normally we would go. Do you want to read Ruth and Acts or just go to Acts? Okay. So, Jean Donnelly, would you come? And we're going to read Ruth. Chapter 1, verse 8-16. And this is a traditional If you haven't heard, in the season of Shavuot and the counting of the Omer, it's traditional to read the whole book of Ruth because it was during the time of the harvest and at this time that the story of Ruth took place. So if you'd like to go. 1:8-16. Come over here and put your Bible.
Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Each of you go back to your mother's house. May Adonai show grace to you, as you did to those who died and to me. May Adonai grant you security in the home of a new husband." Then she kissed him, and they began weeping aloud. They said to her, "No, we want to return with you to your people." Naomi said, "Go back, my daughters. Why do you want to go back? Do I still have sons in my womb who could become your husbands? Go back, my daughters, go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. Even if I were to say, I still have hope, even if I had a husband tonight and bore sons, would you wait for them until they grew up? Would you refuse to marry just for them? No, my daughters, on your behalf, I feel very bitter, and the hand of Adonai had gone out against me." Again, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth stuck with her. She said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her God. Go back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Don't press me to leave you and stop following you, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Adonai bring terrible curses on me, and worse ones as well, if anything but death separates you and me."
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What an awesome scripture that is. And we rejoice in Ruth and what she did. She was a Gentile, joined to the house of Israel, and a great mother of Israel, to great-great-grandmother of King David. So she is beloved in our rich history. And we celebrate her at this time. Hallelujah. Our next scripture is going to be from the Brit Chadashah, and it's Acts 2, verse 1 to 13. I'm going to ask Madonna Dalby to come and read our last scripture, please. Do you have X? Okay, you got it. Okay. Okay. Madonna's back here. I don't know if you can see her.
Stand up, Madonna.
Here, I'll hold it for you.
The festival. The festival of Shabbos.
Shavuot.
Arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky, like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Now there were staying in Jerusalem religious Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard the believers speaking in his own language. Totally amazed, they asked, "How is this possible? Aren't all these people who are speaking from the Galilee. How is it that we heard them speaking in our own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Yehuda, and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews by birth, and proselytes, Jews from Crete and from Arabia? Okay. How is it that we hear them speaking in our own language about the great change God has done? Amazed and confused, they all went on asking each other, what can this mean? How others made fun of them. But others made fun of them and said, they've just had too much wine. Keep going.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everybody, give it up for Madonna. All right, and then if the rabbi has any comments, we'll take them now, and we'll close with the Ha Elohim Asher on page 226, your liturgy. So, Rabbi.
I'm going to teach on Shavuot, but if Anthony would like to say anything, if you have anything to add, it's on your heart.
Sorry. Shavuot really is, it's a wedding service is what actually transpired. And the Torah was actually the marriage contract that God gave to Moses, and when he accepted the tablets of stone, that was saying I do, because the Jewish people then became the bride of God, and they became his people at that point. But that's the real meaning of Shavuot. Is really it's a wonderful wedding ceremony. It's what it's all about. And Mount Sinai was the big hoopah that sometime we had last week out here that covered them, in a lot of the writings, we find that it actually came up off of the ground, the mountain did, when God approached. And some of the sages tell us that the whole world stopped at that point. So it's interesting to note that Shavuot is a marriage, and the Holy Spirit is I think that was given with the disciples and came upon those people in the upper room, had the opportunity to be in the upper room with Rabbi when we went to Israel a few years ago. So it's quite an experience to be where that happened. But that's the meaning of Shavuot. It's a wedding ceremony where the Israel, the Jewish people, became the bride of God and Yeshua at that point. Thanks.
Amen. Good word.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful time. We've got lots of celebrations. We had a good celebration last night. Amen. And did you feel the Holy Spirit? Did the Spirit touch your heart in a special way? I find it interesting that God, this is not the only time Marty has come for Shavuot. He's come several times on this feast. And so he must like...
You know what was really neat about it is that Marty had open heart surgery. He's supposed to come a year ago, October or September, and he was going to a church in Johnson City, Boone's Creek Bible Church. And I saw him on the schedule to go there on a Sunday, so I called Jenny, his wife. I love you, Jenny. And I called Jenny, and I said, could we get Marty on Saturday if he's going to be in Boone's Creek? And she said, no, he's going to be doing something special Saturday. And I said, how about Friday night? No, we've got a meeting Friday night there, too. I said, whoa, okay. She said, well, actually, she did book me in for one night or something. Anyway, but... I think it was the Saturday. And so anyway, then Marty had open heart surgery and she rescheduled for this weekend. And I had no idea like a year and a half ago that it was going to be Shavuot, you know. I didn't know, you know, that he was coming on Shavuot, you know, not exactly the day of Shavuot, but, you know, this weekend. It's God's way of, you know, making it special. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I had no, we had no control. And what a wonderful night, wasn't it? It was just, I was so blessed last night. Were you?
Amen.
My goodness.
And also, we had a lot of people watching online. We were videoing on Facebook Live, and it was also really neat to watch and see who was coming on to the to watch, because you can do that. It'll pop up who's watching. And so we had some unbelievers coming in and out of our program last night, and so that was very nice. Amen.
So later on, I'll tell you how you can get that video and watch it if you want to. We may show it tomorrow, though. Are you giving announcements now?
No, we're going to close with the Ha Elohim Asher. So if everyone will stand, and we'll conclude with our liturgy on page in your insert. It's the Hebrew is on page 226, and the English and transliteration is on 227. So, Rabbi, I don't know if you'd like to do the Hebrew or of Ha Elohim, page, just flip it up, 226.
Ha Elohim Asher Diber
Mikedem
Mikedem Pi'amim. Part of it is my Hebrew is a little rusty, but my eyesight isn't as good, and the handwriting is small. That's okay. I'm good. Rabot uvidarchim, rabot el haavot b'yed hanivim, diber aleinu b'ahavrim rit hayam. Hayamim ha'elea b'yad ha'ben asher sam liyoresh kol uviado gam asa et ha'olamim hu zochar kevodo v'tzelem atzmuto v'nose kol v'divro rav Hagvura ulachar she'asa tihur hatiim yashav limin hagedula.
Amen. In the past, Anthony, go ahead. Anthony.
In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times in various ways.
But now in the end of days, he has spoken to us by the Messiah, his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe.
The Son is full of radiance of God's glory and the flawless manifestation of his reality. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After he made our sins, he sat down in the place of authority beside the Messiah, the majesty in heaven. True and firm, established and lasting, right and faithful, loved and treasured, desired and pleasant, feared and mighty, ordered and acceptable, good and beautiful, is this word to us forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, remain standing and for the closing of the Torah.
Vezo ta Torah Asher Samoshe Lifne Bine Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. I'm just going to sing a song. I don't know if you guys have it in the back. It's Ruth's Pledge. Before we continue.
But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following
seated.
Lost all my papers.
Oh, I found the song.
Oh, you found
the last page. I was looking for the song. It was on the last page.
I'm sorry, honey. I
okay. It's like a puzzle.
I have to make him work a little bit over there.
We're doing the song, and I'm looking for, like, where is it so I can play it? And finally it finishes, and I found it was the last page.
Okay. Praise the Lord. It's not perfect, is it? But we come to worship the Lord and in our imperfection. And he's here, amen?
Amen.
So that's the main thing. It doesn't matter if we do it perfectly, but we want to honor him. And he commands us to celebrate, to set this day apart. Tomorrow is the actual day, Rabbi's going to tell us. But today is really the last day of the counting. And so we didn't have any other special day. And so this is what we're doing today. Amen?
Amen.
And praise the Lord. We want to remember these wonderful scriptures of the Bible that tell us about this awesome feast that continues to be fulfilled. It was fulfilled and then fulfilled again, and it continues to be fulfilled in our hearts. And we will see one day a final fulfillment, because God continues to fulfill these feasts, and as we walk in them, he brings us revelation, new revelation, fresh revelation every single year. Amen. And so it's not about so much, it is about tradition, but it's also about allowing God to work in our lives and speak to us in these seasons in a very special and specific prophetic way. Okay? So if we're obedient to him and come to him on the day of the feast as he commands, he's going to bless us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So just a couple of announcements before we continue with our worship. I do want to welcome people. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. We're in Bristol, Virginia, and I say that because you all know where you are, hopefully. But on the internet, we do want to welcome our visitors on the internet who are watching today, and thank you for joining us. And if you're living here in this area, if you live close by or nearby, then please consider, pray about joining us in person. We'd love to have you. We are a representative of the remnant of Israel. We are a representative of Israel here in this region. And if you're being called to serve Israel, to be a part of Israel, or if you're Jewish and you need a place to worship, please come and join us. And we are here to worship together and to represent Israel as a light to the nations. Amen. Praise the Lord. I also want to welcome visitors that are here in person with us. We have two guests, I'm told.
Getting a little feedback up here. Mm-hmm.
So we have Carolyn. Is this Carolyn in the back? Okay, Carolyn, would you stand and just tell us a little bit about yourself? Thank you so much for coming. Carolyn Chapman. Wow.
That's because we haven't changed anything except the organs in the corner. Good.
It's a portal.
It's a well.
Yeah.
It's a well. It's like in the Bible. So Abraham dug wells, and you know, a well is representative of a like a house of the Lord is a well of the Spirit, And an altar is another example. Abraham built altars and Isaac built altars. And sometimes the Philistines would fill them in, and you have to redig them a little bit to get them going. But yes, this is definitely, I agree with you, a portal to the, the remnant of the history of what went on here in the past is still connected. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good word. That's a good word. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Welcome.
Hallelujah.
Come anytime.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Carolyn Chapman. It's wonderful to have you. And so praise the Lord. And we've had a few other people who are coming. And Donna hasn't been in a while, so we want to welcome you back last night and today. So that's it. Anybody else? We've got our friends from Burke's Garden, Virginia. And I told them I know where that is, only because I fly over it, and it's kind of there's like a little emergency strip right there in the middle of absolute nowhere, a mountain area. And so that's the only reason I know where Burke's Garden is. And they come. So they spent the night with my parents, and they were here for Marty Getz last night. So thank you for coming, and it's good to have you with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, everybody stay, because we've got, I think we've got plenty of food next door. I cooked some food. I hope it tastes good. But we have food, so let's all gather together and eat, all right? And we'll celebrate the with eating. We always celebrate with eating our feasts, amen? So we'll see what everybody brought, and we'll have a tasting contest. Maybe Madonna brought her, I don't know if she brought her... She always likes to make the Blintz casserole. It's so good. I know we were all busy last night, so we had to do what we could. Praise the Lord. Okay. We have a baby shower coming up for Amber, and that's on June 10th, I believe. It's in your bulletins. So please make note of that, and we will be talking about what we are going to get her specifically. So that's coming up soon. I will be communicating with you on that day, and Wendell would like to say a little bit about that. But before I hand it over, I just want just two other things. Really, MJA conference is coming up in July, so the brochures are here. Don't forget to sign up and come. Rabbi Joe's speaking on Monday night and Monday morning. I'm sorry, 10 o'clock in the morning. At Hossiter Chapel. So if you would like to see him, please make that a priority. All right. And also, the last thing I want to do is to just recognize our new members. That we had a new members class last week. If we have Amber, Nick and Amber, the Matthews family, and joined us. We had Robert and Madonna Dalby. You want to stand up? And we had Margaret and Abby McDaniels, who are not here today. So, oh, are they? Yeah, they're not here. Praise the Lord. So please make them feel welcome, and we're just glad that our little family is growing. Amen? And now I'll let Wendell say a word about, while we're having the baby shower, the men are going to do kids an outing that day. So, Wendell.
Okay, so I want to take all the kids to play putt-putt while the women are, oh, look how cute with the stuff. You know what I mean? So us guys are going to get together, and I want to take all the kids, and I need an adult or two to help me take them to the putt-putt place. And are you going to eat? Are you going to do Oneg before?
Yeah, we'll probably do Oneg.
Okay.
Everybody will be there for Oneg.
Okay, so everybody that wants to go, tell your little kids, we're going to go have us a ball. Your little friends, if they want to go, we're going to have us a ball while the women are doing their thing with a baby, shall we? So thank you.
Thank you, Wendell.
You're welcome.
All right, you won't want to miss that, kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, you know, I don't know where that golf ball is going to end up, though.
Buzz can come too if he wants to.
All right, praise the Lord. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. So let's prepare ourselves. Let's pray. And also, this is a special day, this feast. And Deuteronomy 16:16 says that three times a year, everybody in Israel is supposed to go up to a place that the Lord chooses, in Deuteronomy 16:16, and I believe also in Exodus 23. And he says that we're to bring an offering, a feast offering. That's apart from tithes. And he says each man is to bring according to his ability. And so for those who wish to give an offering for Israel today, this is an opportunity to do that. And but we're going to bring our tithes. That's separate from your tithe. And I guess the big box is for tithes. The smaller box is building fund. But we'll use that for the you can mark it. It doesn't really matter. As long as you mark your envelope what your gift is. And we have a basket there for alms for the poor in Israel, which is kind of like the Israel offering. It's the same thing. So it's basically alms for the poor. So that's what we're doing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give, that you that you give so much to us, Lord. We give back to you as a token, as a gesture of returning a little portion of what you give to us. And we give you thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the way you multiply the seed that we sow and bring forth the harvest in our lives, the seed of the word, the seed of our finances, the seed of our gardens, the seed, the fruit of our womb. We just thank you, and we give you the praise in Yeshua's name. Bring forth a hundredfold return. Amen.
Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall surely reap in joy. Those who go forth weeping, you know the Lord, he longs to bring them back, the captive ones of Zion, the people of his promise. Don't you know the Lord, he wants to send them out, a light to light the world, salvation to the nation. So in tears shall surely reap in joy. sons go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall no doubt come again with joyful sheaves of harvest. Don't you know the Lord, He longs to bring you back, the captive one. You know the Lord, He wants to send you out, a light to light the world, salvation to the nations. La 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 la. La 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 oti shama ba'areuda uvechutzot Yerushalayim ko sason beko Shama be'are Yehuda uve'chutzot Yerushalayim. Odi shama be'are Yehuda uve'chutzot Yerushalayim. Kol sason ve'kol simcha, kol hatan ve'kol kahala. Kol sason ve'kol simcha, kol hatan. Cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride. Oh, lie, 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 come on. Shama be'are Yehuda uve'chutzot Yerushalayim. Odi shama be'are Yehuda uve'chutzot Yerushalayim. Kohos hason ve'kohos simcha, kohos hatan ve'kohos kahala. Kohos hason ve'kohos simcha, kohos hatan ve'kohos kahala. The voice of Hachachar, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the up your hands and praise the Lord. Mashiach u'magen. Melech ozer u'Mashiach u'magen. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Avraham. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah. Mashiach u'magen, lele ozer u'Mashiach u'magen. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, magen Abraham. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, magen Abraham. O King, Redeemer, Savior and Shield, Redeemer, Savior and Shield. Blessed are thou, blessed are thou, Shield of Abraham. Blessed are thou, blessed are thou, Shield of Abraham. You are the mighty one forever, O Lord. You are the mighty one forever, O Lord. You raise the dead, sleeping in their graves. You are mighty to save. You raise the dead, sleeping in their graves. You are mighty to save. O Melech Ozer u'Mashiach u'Magen. Melech Mashiach u'Magen, Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Abraham. Baruch atah Adonai, Baruch atah Adonai, Magen Abraham. You raise the dead, sleeping in
Hallelujah. Yeshua. Lord, take my life and let it be holy, yielding all to Thee. Lord, take my life and let it be
folks watching at home. We're going to go to the Lord's table, and if you have some bread or crackers and grape juice or wine that you use, whatever your tradition is, if you'd like to grab some, we're going to come to the Lord's table and bless. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua the Messiah, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. It was a Passover night, the Last Supper, when Yeshua took the middle piece of three pieces of matzah, called the afikomen, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of redemption, and he blessed it and said, "This cup is the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to ask Donna, would you like to serve today? Madonna, would you like to come? Did you come on down? Come on down. You're the next contestant at Ari Yehuda. Donna and Madonna. Donna, Madonna. All right. Don't they look pretty? Oh, so colorful. Now, while they're getting ready, I just want to say we invite everybody who's a believer to come to the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member of our congregation. You just have to be a member of the body of Messiah. And you have to, you know, if God has revealed his son to you and forgiven you of your sins, and you believe that your salvation is in him alone, then you are welcome to come. And that's all we require. But if there's anybody that doesn't know the Messiah, let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. And if you would like to make Yeshua your Redeemer, your Savior, your Messiah, give you an opportunity to do that. Let's bow our heads. If there's anybody that doesn't know the Lord today and you would like to ask Yeshua to be your Savior, he is the Son of God. He came to die for your sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, so that you will not die, but when you leave this earth, you will pass right into eternity, and you may experience physical death, but spiritually you will live forever. And that is a wonderful promise. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you have never received the Messiah and you would like to do that, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If you're here today, if there's anyone that doesn't know him, hallelujah. And if you're at home and you'd like to ask Yeshua to be your Messiah, Jesus, all you have to do is just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry, I've messed up, I've broken your laws, I have broken your commandments, I have not kept your ordinances, I have failed. And if you're willing to admit that to God and ask him to forgive you, and just tell him, Lord, forgive me because I've broken and trespassed. I've broken your laws and I've trespassed against you and your commandments. And ask his forgiveness. Invite his son, Yeshua, Jesus, to come into your heart and to write your name in his book of life forever and be your Savior. And I believe he will if you do it sincerely. So you can do that right in the privacy of your own home or wherever you are. May God bless you. And let's prepare our hearts to come. I always tell people, keep a short list. So if you have any unconfessed sin, this is a good time to deal with it. And come as you're ready. God bless you as you do.
Don't lose hope.
Okay. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Amen. Actually going to dismiss the children, and we're going to let them go to class, and I'll pray for them when they go. Who's teaching today?
Madonna is teaching.
Okay.
I think it's Madonna, and Brenda's not here, so I'll come down if you need me to.
Okay. So we're going to let the kids go. It's just Mark and Josh today.
Unless they want to stay up.
Unless they want to sit in. You guys want to sit in or? Welcome to sit in. Eat my bread. Oh, there is the cordless mic. Okay. Diane, could you grab me that cordless mic back there? It's in a black box, please. Test 1, 2. Test 2, 3. Can you hear me? Is it coming through? Test 2, 3, 4. Can I get a little more on the monitors, please? Hallelujah. Test 2, 3, 4. Test 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2. A little more if you have it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray for the word of the Lord. Do we have any other visitors with us today? Any other first-timers? All right. I see Claudia there. She was with us last night. Welcome back. Good to have you. Praise God. All right. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Thank you, Don. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we give you the praise and the glory. Thank you for this Shavuot festival. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Lord, thank you that it's not about us, it's about you. And I thank you, Lord, that you feed your people today, Lord. Feed them with meat that you bind the strong man and take authority. I take authority in the house in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord. I take authority in the house in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Let's put the little games away, please. Turn them off. Okay. All right, let's turn with me, please, to Leviticus 23. A lot of people, even rabbis, have asked me this week, when is Pentecost? When is Shavuot? There's two, thank you, Charlie. There's two schools of thought as to when the holiday is the feast. And if you go to Leviticus 23, we can read in verse 15. First of all, I want to ask you a question. What were all those Pergians, Pamphylians, Cretans, people from Asia Minor, what were Arabs, proselytes, what were they all doing in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2? Why were they there? They didn't know Jesus. They weren't coming for Jesus, for Yeshua. They just were there at that time. Why were they there in Acts chapter 2? Why was Jerusalem so full of people on that day, on the day of the day of, as the church calls, Pentecost, and Jews call it Shavuot? Why were they there? What were they doing there? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let's read in verse 15 here. It says, "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be..." Isaac, can you bring me up that matzah? Or Josh, can you bring me that plate of matzah that's on the table there, please? thank you. Just bring it right up here. Thank you very much, son. All right. So, it says, "So from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord." Then you shall present a new grain offering. So, all right, so let's stop there for a second. You shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. Well, first of all, what is the wave offering? Okay, let's talk about that for a second. All right, that is called the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits. Bikurim in Hebrew. Bikurim. Okay, and the sheaf of the wave offering was essentially an unleavened piece of bread. Let's see, I should say that. Maybe read down further. Okay, there it is, verse 17. "You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord." Okay, that's the Pentecost offering. But if you go back to Passover in verse 5, it says, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to the sons of Israel, "Say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits." Everybody say, "The sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, he shall wave it." Okay, so the feast of first fruits, now at Passover, the priest would take an unleavened piece of bread, okay, kind of like this, probably bigger, he would take an unleavened bread. What? Remember, it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? And he would take a sheaf of unleavened bread, and he would wave it before the Father. And some say that he would wave it like this, in the sign of a cross. Wave it before God the Father, so that the people would be accepted before God. So they baked a sheaf of unleavened bread, and it was from the barley harvest. Okay, now the barley harvest was smaller than the wheat harvest, which is coming after the next holiday, which is today, Shavuot is the wheat, represents the wheat harvest. Passover has to do with the barley harvest. Okay, so let's think about this for a second. Yeshua, I've talked about this at Passover. Yeshua, I think I have a flashlight here. Okay, Yeshua he's pierced, right? So can you see the bread is pierced? The rabbis have requirements to use this matzah at Passover. It's got to be pierced. See the holes? Amen? He was pierced for our transgressions, Isaiah said. They shall look upon me whom they've pierced, as a father mourns for an only son, Zechariah 12:10. They shall look upon me whom they've pierced. You'll also notice it is striped. The bread is striped. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. And you also notice he was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquities. There's bruises all over this bread. So this unleavened piece of bread represents, which is waved at Passover. We read verse 11. He shall wave the sheaf of the wave offering. That's during Passover. Everybody say during Passover. So this unleavened loaf of bread that the priest waved on the Feast of First Fruits. Everybody say that the priest waved on the Feast of First Fruits. Represents Jesus. Yeshua. Okay? Now, Paul said, if you turn, hold your place in Leviticus and go to 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. So the Feast of First Fruits is about the first fruits of the barley harvest at Passover. Let's go back to Leviticus, because Paul said for Christ, for Messiah, our first fruits is our first fruits from those who have risen from the dead, who have fallen asleep, who've come back to life. Amen? So the Feast of First Fruits, now let's go back here to Passover, verse 5. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And that was the week of about the, I think it was around the 10th of April. About April 10th or so was the first day of Passover. Okay, that was the 14th day of the first month. So then on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. Means you shall come together. That's a mikre kodesh, a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. It's a Sabbath. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits. Everybody say the sheaf of the first fruits. Everybody say the sheaf of Yeshua. Because when you say first fruits, you're saying Yeshua. For Messiah is our first fruits from the dead, Paul said. 1 Corinthians 15, right? And when did they bring the first fruit offering? 2:11? Okay, thank you. When did they bring the first fruit offering? On the morrow after the Sabbath. Okay, let's read it again, verse 11. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted. Verse 11, on the day after the Sabbath, he shall wave it. Now, all right. Now, stop there for a second. Go to Matthew 28. Hold your place in Leviticus, please. If you get this, you're going to get a really cool revelation. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary came to the grave, to look at the grave, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white snow. Thank you, Charlie. As white as snow. Hallelujah. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Yeshua, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. So our Yeshua, our first fruits from the dead, rose on the same day of first fruits that Moses spoke of in Leviticus. Amen? He just the same day that the priest took the sheaf of the wave offering, the unleavened piece of bread, the first fruit offering, and waved it on the same day, on the day after the Sabbath. See that in Leviticus 23:11. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to you to be accepted on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Amen? So Yeshua rose from the dead as our first fruits on the same day after the Sabbath during Passover. Capiche? Everybody capiche? Amen? Okay. So it was Sunday. It was on the first day. Everybody say the first day of the week. Go to Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Amen? The first day of the week. Okay, now let's go back. So Yeshua is our first fruits, and on the Sunday, on the first day of the week, the priest, for 1,400 years, not always, because a lot of times the Jews were disobedient. So for a lot of years, they skipped it. But for hundreds of years, they celebrated it, and the priest would come out of the tabernacle, or he'd go to the tabernacle with the offering, with the unleavened wave offering, or during at the temple, he would go to the temple with the first fruits of the barley harvest, and he would wave it before the Lord. Amen. On the day after the Sabbath, on the first, everybody say the first day of the week. Yeshua is our first fruits from the dead. And this piece of bread represents Yeshua. Okay? But let's read on. Let's go to the same chapter. Let's go to verse 15. Okay, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, and we're still in Passover. From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. What day did you bring in the wave offering? What day was that? That was Sunday, right? First day of the week, Matthew 28, right? First day of the week, Sunday. Right. Thank you. Buzz. So you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, Sunday, from the day when you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Now, let me ask you a question. There's a debate in the Jewish community and in the Messianic Jewish community as to when this feast is. They start counting the Omer. We count the 50 days. Where do we get Pentecost? Pentecoste. The Greeks took the word Pentecoste, 50th, as in 50 days. The Jews counted seven Sabbaths, 49 days, to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and that's where they got 50 days. So they call it the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, and the Greeks called it the Feast of Pentecost. Same holiday, just a different name, amen? It's like, you can have a Model T in any color you want as long as it's black, right? It's the same thing. It doesn't change. It's just got a different name. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. So what's my point? There's something crawling around on my thing here. What is my point here? Well, some people say that the Sabbath, the way they get how to determine when Pentecost is or when Shavuot is based on, they start counting when Passover starts. It started on a Monday this year. It's Monday night. They start counting the next day on the day of unleavened bread is the first day. They started counting the Omer, 50 days, right? So on Tuesday, I was with my mother up in Boston on the first day of the Omer, the day of unleavened bread. That's what some people believe is the first day. But I ask you this question. It says count seven Sabbaths. Are there seven other holidays? If you start on a Tuesday and you count 7 days, are there seven Sabbaths? Is the next Tuesday a Sabbath? Is the Tuesday after that a Sabbath? Is the Tuesday after that a Sabbath? You following me? So it's from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath. Saturday, you start the count of the Omer from the first Sabbath during Passover is when you start the count of weeks. You count the seven Sabbaths from Sabbath to Sabbath to Sabbath, seven Sabbaths till you get to the first day of the week, which is the Feast of First Fruits. So Pentecost is always on a Sunday. Shavuot is always on a Sunday. It doesn't say, some people say, the Feast of Passover is a Sabbath, therefore we begin counting when Passover is. Some people say, well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a Sabbath, therefore we count from the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But if you count 7 days from unleavened bread, you don't have a Sabbath. If you count 7 days after that, you don't have a Sabbath. It's got to be Saturday to Saturday to Saturday to Saturday. Capiche? Are you with me? Glory to God. Okay? So, Shavuot, and I'm going to stand on this. And, somebody said to me the other day, Rabbi said to me, I'm not going to mention his name, nice, wonderful guy. He says to me, I used to do it the way you do it, this way. He said to me, but I changed because I don't want to offend the Jewish people. I'm always imitating people. I'm sorry. Forgive me. He said, I changed because I didn't want to offend the Jewish people. The gospel offends. The Bible offends. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's meant to offend. It pierces the heart. It cuts like a two-edged sword. Amen? Whether you're saying that Jesus is the Messiah or whether you're telling the truth that Pentecost is tomorrow, not as the rabbis teach, Wednesday, last Wednesday, which is what the rabbis teach, but it's really tomorrow, starting tonight at sundown. Okay? You following me? It's from Sabbath to Sabbath to the first day of the week when the wave offering, Yeshua, that the priest waved 1,400 years before Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. The priest would wave the unleavened bread of the wave offering on Sunday. Are you capiche? Hallelujah. So Yeshua, our first fruit. So we can know for sure, I believe, and you can pray about this, and you disagree with me, I still love you. But this is my teaching. And this is my synagogue because God gave it to me, and I'm going to be a brat. So if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else and teach. Okay? I'm just having fun with you. Do you get it? You see what I'm talking about? There's from Sabbath to Sabbath. There are no other holidays a week or two later. Only Sabbaths. So you got to count. There's only 7 weekly Sabbaths till you get to Pentecost. And even the Sabbath today is not a holiday. Well, it's Shabbat. But tomorrow is Shavuot, is Pentecost. Okay? All right. Okay. So that's I want to make that explanation of that when you reap the harvest. Now, let's go on here in verse 17. You shall bring in from your... Okay, so go back to verse 15. You shall also... This is Pentecost. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day... Now, this is... He's talking about Passover. So from the day after the Sabbath, he's saying, you shall count when you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, when you brought this back at Passover. Remember, this is the Yeshua. This is the Jesus offering. Everybody say the Jesus offering. Why is it the Jesus offering? Because it's unleavened and he's sinless. And Paul says, for Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he's pierced, the bread is striped, the bread is bruised, and the bread is unleavened, representing Messiah Yeshua, our Savior. Amen? This is the first fruit offering at Passover. But there's another one coming tomorrow. Aha, the mystery deepens. The plot thickens. Verse 15, you shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, the day when you brought in the Yeshua sheaf offering. There shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days. Ah, what does it say? To the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, which has got to be Sunday. You shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring in from your dwelling places 2 loaves. Mamma mia. 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be baked of fine flour, baked with leaven. Oh, wait a sec. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, for Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So if leaven is equated with sin, unleavened, that's why this is the Jesus bread. It's unleavened. It's sinless. But he says this one is supposed to be leavened. You shall bring in, verse 17, from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread for a wave offering made of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be baked of a fine flour, baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Along with the bread you shall present. Okay, let's stop there. So there's a new first fruit offering on the Sunday during of Pentecost. We may use this. I won't handle it. 2 loaves of leavened bread. Different wave offering. And the priest, I'll grab it with napkins. And the priest would take the 2 loaves. No, I'm okay. I got it. Priest would take the 2 loaves tomorrow, and he would wave them like he did 50 days earlier, 49 days earlier, he'd waved them before the Lord to be accepted. Now, if the flatbread was Yeshua, who's this? If you know, don't say it, because some of you have heard this. But if you haven't heard this message in any form, if the flatbread was Yeshua, who are these puppies? Anybody? Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree, Jew and Gentile. Leavened bread, different offering, right? Still a wave offering. First fruits. Wow, he's calling us little messiahs. He's calling us little Yeshuas. We're going to resurrect and be just like him. Wow. Is that cool? In fact, we are him. We're his hands. We're his body. You are the body of Messiah. You are Messiah in the earth. He's not here. Last week we talked about the kinsman redeemer. Remember I said it takes a man, takes a Jewish man to be the kinsman redeemer? Is the body of Messiah a Jewish body? Is Jesus Jewish?
Yes.
Is his body Jewish?
Yes.
Was he circumcised on the eighth day?
Yes.
Okay, so is the body of Messiah Jewish?
Yes.
Very much so. Who makes the body of Messiah Jewish? The Jews. The kinsman redeemer. It's the Jews in the mix. Woo! It's the Jews in the mix. When you read the genealogy of Matthew 1, the thing that doesn't make it, the patriarchal lineage goes through the male. So all these Jewish males, descendants of King David, descendants of Jesus, who the lineage of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, all these kings of Judah, you read them, Hezekiah, Uzziah, Asa, Manasseh, you know, and so forth. And it goes on and on and on and on with all these kings. But then it says Rahab the harlot. Wow. If the woman could defile the lineage, and if her lineage, not that women matter. Okay, women are very important. Women have a great role to play, but they don't affect the lineage. Therefore, if a man in the Bible marries a Rahab, if a Jew in the line of the Messiah married Rahab, Rahab became the great, 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 great grandmother of the Messiah. Ruth became the grandmother of King David, or the great grandmother of King David. You see that? She married Boaz in Bethlehem, and Boaz was the great grandfather of King David. Is that awesome? But if the Gentile woman from Moab or the prostitute Rahab from Jericho, if she could defile the line of the kings of Judah, God never would have allowed it. Do you understand that? He never would have allowed the line to be defiled, because it had to be a pure line of King David, of Jesse. A branch shall go forth, a rod shall go forth out of Jesse, and a branch shall go forth from his roots, and the Spirit of God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and truth. Amen? David is the son of Jesse. He's the branch, and the line had to be pure. Amen? All right. So this represents us, you and me. Okay? And the kinsman redeemer has to be a Jew. On this holiday, it's customary to read the book of Ruth. And Ruth was redeemed by Boaz, right? Okay. There's another kinsman redeemer in Matthew 1. His name is Joseph. Because we talked about that last week. I highly recommend you get last week's message if you didn't hear it on the kinsman redeemer. Or you can go online and you can watch it archived on our live stream page, and then go scroll down underneath the clock and you'll see the message archived. However, the point I'm making is
the kinsman redeemer has to be a Jew. In order to bring the body, to make the body Jewish, everybody say, to make the body Jewish, you got to have Jewish kinsmen redeemers in the body. No, not Yeshua. Because we are the body of Messiah, right? Yeshua is not a man anymore, is he? Is he a man? Well, he's in heaven, right? Is your grandpa, is he a man? Is he alive? He's a man or is he a spirit? This is serious. Is your dead or your passed on relatives who knew the Lord, are they earthly people that they can give seed and have children and create offspring and give inheritances? Can a dead person pass on an inheritance? Are you still married if your spouse passed away? Are you set free from that person? Is your covenant gone? They're not people anymore, are they? They're glorified people. They're living spirits. But they ain't earthly people. And what the Bible teaches is to be a kinsman redeemer, you need a blood, flesh and blood man. You see, we have spiritualized the Bible so much. Christianity has spiritualized the Bible and made it so much that we're no earthly good. We have spiritualized the Christian church through history. I'm not saying your pastor or your papa, your mama, your grandma, your grandpa, your mama, your pat, whatever. I'm just saying throughout history, the church has spiritualized the Bible so much that we're no earthly good. And so many Christians are so spiritual that they're no earthly good. Everything is spiritual. Did Jesus die spiritually? Was he killed spiritually? Or did it take three nails and a cross? Did it take a bullwhip with you know, metal, you know, whatever, like, what do they call that stuff on the end of it? Cat of nine tails? I mean, to specifically tear his skin apart? Did they put a crown of thorns on him? Did they punch him? Did they spit on him? Did they give him a sponge full of vinegar, wine vinegar to drink? I mean, did he die physically or spiritually? He died a horrible physical death. He suffered physically in his body. Amen. He knew sickness. He bore our sickness. He bore our transgression. He became sin, the Bible says. He became sin for us. Now, he did not sin in his life, but at the moment of his death, he took on our sins, all the sins of the world. He became sin for us, went down to hell, took the keys of hell from Satan or whoever down there, grabbed the keys from the gates of hell, took them and went up to the throne and sits at the right hand of God, and he holds the keys to heaven and hell. Amen. Amen. All authority under heaven has been given unto him. All authority has been given under him. And he says, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. So you are the body of Messiah in the flesh. And the body of Messiah has to be Jewish because there's Jews in the body. And it's the Jews in the body that are the kinsman redeemer for the non-Jews. You see, in Jeremiah 31, this is a very deep message, so you might want to get it to listen to it again. But Jeremiah 31:31, did God make a covenant with the Gentiles? Let's read that. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the church and the Gentiles. Does it say that? Does it say, Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the church and with the Gentiles. Doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers. Oh, wow. Real physical Jews. Real physical Jews. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers. This is not some spiritual Israel. This is not some spiritual Judah. He's saying, I'm going to make a new covenant with those, with the Jewish people. Capiche? Not like the one I made with their fathers, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, but this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, and no longer will they say, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Capítulo 2. Charlie hates it when I speak Spanish. He just gets so jealous. He gets so jealous because he doesn't understand it. Okay. All right, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Bible's very specific about us. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups. Everybody say both groups. That's very important. Everybody say both groups. I'm going to go back to that. Into one, breaking down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Messiah Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Being fitted together or apart? Verse 21. What's the key to us becoming all these promises that God is saying for the Jew and for the Gentile, and us being one from two groups into one new man, and you who once were separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world? What's the key to you becoming included in the commonwealth of Israel, not separate, joined to Christ, not strangers to the covenants of promise, having hope, and with God in the world? What's the key word? It's in verse 21 and 22. In whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God and the Spirit. Together. Now I ask you a question. Yeshua ascended 2,000 years ago, give or take, right? Give or take. Okay. Yeshua ascended, and then he left us, and he said, love one another, Jew and Gentile. Remember, there were Jews at Pentecost, and there were Gentiles. There were proselytes, Parthians. There were Jews from Pergia, Pamphylia, Crete, Romans, people from Arabs, all over the place, Tarshish. So have we been built together? Wendell, you're a builder. You're a master builder, aren't you? Do you build bricks? Blocks. You put blocks, stones, you build stone walls and things like that. Has Jew and Gentile been built together for the last 1900 years? Not really. Did you ever know any Jews in your church 20 years ago, 25, that were attending the church? Only recently has that occurred in your life, right? Okay, praise the Lord. So, but God's saying we need to be built. Wendell's a stonemason. We need to be built together. Together. We haven't been. The wall is not a together wall. We got kicked out. In case y'all don't know, Constantine, the emperor, kicked the Jews out of the church in the 4th century, in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. Look up, Google this. You don't have to do it right now. Google Constantine's letter at Nicaea. You should Google his letter, Emperor Constantine's letter at Nicaea. Not the Apostles' Creed, not the Nicene Creed. His letter. He said, "Let us have nothing to do with this most hostile rabble of the Jews, for we have received a more efficacious way from the Savior." He says, "So therefore, let us have nothing to do with this nefarious bunch." Oh, that's us. He said, "We will no longer keep Sabbaths or anything." You read the letter. It's out there. You can get it on the internet. I've got it written in a newsletter. If you want it, write your name down for me. I'll get you a copy of it. I wrote an article about it. Okay? What's that? Yeah. He kicked the Jews out. It's like, if you're making buttermilk pancakes without buttermilk, are they going to taste good? As good? I mean, real buttermilk pancakes taste great, don't they? You know? But if you make pancakes without buttermilk and they're just regular pancakes, they're all right. But if you've ever tasted a real... My mama makes some killer buttermilk pancakes. I mean, kicking. You know, she makes blueberry buttermilk pancakes. Are they the best blueberry pancakes you ever tasted, Don? Josh, you like Grandma Harriet's blueberry pancakes? Okay, but if you take the buttermilk out and you don't let it sit for the 20 minutes or whatever she leaves it to sit, they don't taste the same. And you kick the Jews out, the body of Messiah don't work. It's not together, is it? It doesn't say, verse 21, in whom the whole building is being fitted apart. Wendell, have you ever built a wall or a building apart? Did you ever put a wall over there and another wall over there? Looks like Stonehenge. In whom you are also being built together, verse 22, being built apart into a dwelling of God in the Holy Spirit. We're not being built, we're not supposed to be built apart. But brothers and sisters and sister who used to come to this church, now it's a Jewish house. It used to be a church of God. Praise God. I love the church of God. Got a lot of friends in the church of God. I was thrilled that we got this place. And with that said, you probably didn't worship with many Jews when you were here. And you even said today, it's very different. Our worship's a little different, isn't it? It's different because it's Jewish. But you feel God's presence? Amen. God's bringing us together. And if God's calling you to be a part of this, then you don't have to fight it. We're meant to be together. We're meant to be together. And you know, it's funny. It says that we're supposed to use leaven in those bread and those two loaves of bread on Pentecost? Turn to Leviticus 2. Turn to Leviticus 2. Don, what verse was it? Oh yeah, 2:11. Okay, no grain offering, Leviticus 2:11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. What? No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up smoke, any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you shall bring them to the Lord, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma of the altar. So the only exception where leaven could be brought is on the day of Pentecost, on Shavuot, on first fruits, once a year. What if 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7 says, "For Messiah our Passover is sacrificed, therefore let us keep the feast. Not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So if leaven is sin, Jew and Gentile, what's the leaven mean? Yeah. But sin. Well, this Italian. It's Italian bread. You've been to my bagel message. I know what you're talking about. Because I used to do it with bagels when I had a bagel shop. And I'd take the bagels and I'd roll them down the aisle. At this point in the message, I'd roll the bagels down the aisle because they roll real nice, you know? But I'm not going to roll these loaves because we're going to eat them. This is lunch. You got some nice food down there. So seriously, what's the leaven? It's sin. Yeshua accepts us. The priest would wave it on tomorrow, on the day of Pentecost. He would wave the two loaves back in Leviticus 23:17. He would wave the two loaves on the morrow after the Sabbath of leavened bread as a first fruits, as a Jesus offering, because we are the body of Messiah. And you know what makes us the body? Let me show you. This is the church. Is that the body of Messiah? Don, come up here for a sec. Please. Okay. This is the Jewish loaf. Is that the body of Messiah? No. Is that the body of Messiah? This is my Gentile bride. I'm her kinsman redeemer. She's my Ruth. She's my Ruth. And I'm her kinsman redeemer who makes her complete and together. Together we are being built. Turn to John 10. Thank you, sweetheart.
And because of you, I get to be in the family of Israel.
That's right. Because not because of me, but because of my lineage. Not because of anything I did. I couldn't choose where I was born. I couldn't choose who my mother is. I just happened to be born a Jew. But because of that, she gets to be, and so do you when you join the Messianic community. I'm going to show you that. Turn to John 10 for a second. We're almost done. Anybody catching this? It's deep. John 10, 14. John 10, 14. I don't know why I'm on a Spanish kick today. Juan 10, 14. I used to live in Spain. You know why I'm speaking Spanish? My niece is a missionary to Panama, my wife's niece, and she just came in from Memorial Day weekend, and I spent several days with her. I spent a couple, several hours with her talking Spanish. So it's like in my head. Okay, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, John 10, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Remember it said the two groups in Ephesians 2? The two groups will be one. Okay? I have sheep from another fold. So he's talking to a bunch of Jews around Passover. Amen? He's talking to a bunch of Jewish people in Jerusalem. Physical Jews. And he's saying, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The two will come together as one flock with one shepherd. This is the church. Is that the flock? Only when we're together. I don't think we're just seeing a little. This is the first fruits of it right here. This is the first fruits of what we're going to see. But this is what it's going to look like. Is it going to be Jewish? Turn to Romans 11. Let's see how Jewish it's going to be. Now, it's not going to be Jewish because God makes Gentiles, forces them, and Jews whip them with bulrushes and make them be Jewish, right? It's going to be Jewish because I didn't drag you here, did I? Did I call any of you up and say, you better be here today and wear a pink tie, you know? Did I tell you to wear a flowered dress, Madonna? No. Donna Eskridge, I don't know where she went, but I didn't tell her to dress up in a striped, colorful dress. She looked like one of those lollipops in a nice way. That didn't sound very good. We'll scratch that. Anyway, moving right along. I'm very innocent, very naive. You know, my wife took me to Amsterdam. Well, no, I'm just going to say how naive I am. So we go out for a lovely dinner, and we go to see, we stop by where the boat left for New York, the first boat left for settlers to go to New York City, and found New Amsterdam, which became New York. And there's a plaque there in Amsterdam where the boat left. And it's like on the Thames River. It's just this little, it's not even as big as the Thames. It's just a small dock that leads out to the ocean, and it's nothing. And that's where the ship left that with the first settlers of New York. Okay? And then we went for a lovely dinner. We went down, we had a beautiful French dinner somewhere in Amsterdam, went to this nice restaurant, and then we're walking along this beautiful promenade, and I see this even more beautiful promenade in the distance with a tree line statues and a tree line promenade in the middle, and it was just so beautiful. And I said, my gosh, this is so beautiful. I can't take it all in. And we went closer. It was the red light district. So sometimes I'm very naive. So forgive me. Okay, Romans 11, verse 25. Well, let's start with verse 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people. Has he? May it never be. For I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected. So who are his people? The Jews. Simple as that. It's right there. A descendant of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, or do you not know the scripture he says in the passage about Elijah, whom he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and have torn down your altars, and I alone am left. They're seeking my life. But what is the divine response? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. In the same way, there has come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. Okay, so now you say, okay, well, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. So if you say, well, some people would say Israel was the northern kingdom, And Judah and Benjamin were the southern kingdom. There's an argument out there that says that Judah and Benjamin, which were the two tribes that stayed together when they split, that there's an argument that says that the northern 10 tribes are Israel, but he's from the tribe of Benjamin, right? And he says, "For I too am an Israelite." Well, wait a second. That blows that theory out of the water, that people are Israelites only if they're from the 10 northern tribes, because he's from a southern tribe. See? So if you ever hear that teaching, say, okay. Say, kakapui. Kofifi. Say, kofifi. Oh, man. I'm gonna lose it. All right, verse 25, Romans 11. "For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed." And I really don't. I don't want you, brothers and sisters, to be uninformed. I want you to be informed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel. You know what? I've gone a little bit too far ahead. Turn to verse 17. "But if some of the branches were broken off..." Okay. "If some of the branches..." He's talking about the olive tree of Israel. "...were broken off, and you being a wild olive branch were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches." That's the Jews. "But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' Quite right. They," the Jews, "were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." If that means if God didn't spare the Jewish branches, he won't spare the non-Jewish ones who stand only by faith. "Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell," severity, "but to you God's kindness if," everybody say if, "if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you," or you say me, "if I was cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and is grafted in contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" I say again, is the church the olive tree? Whose tree is it? What does it say there? Their own olive tree. They shall be grafted into their own olive tree. Let's all say that. They shall be grafted into their own olive tree if they don't continue in their unbelief. It says, "How much more will these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" So is the church the olive tree? No. Is the Messianic Jewish community the olive tree? With the church together? See, we can't exclude the church. We need the church. Two loaves. God bless the church. God bless Christians. Thank you, Lord, for Christians. Thank you for the church. Because we wouldn't have two folds to make one. We wouldn't have two folds to make one flock. Amen? So we need the church, but we need the Messianic Jewish community. And without us, the church is without hope. And eventually we'll be without God. And we'll be, it's like shooting a rocket to the moon and being 2 degrees off. Where will it hit the moon? No. You shoot a rocket 2 degrees, Buzz, where will happen? Where will a rocket go that's 2 degrees off?
Several planetary diameters,
he says. Buzz is trained in physics. It'll miss it by hundreds of thousands of miles, hundreds of thousands of miles, hundred if not more. That's what happened to the church. It got launched like a North Korean rocket. Off course. It got launched off course by Constantine. By Constantine. Not by you. Not by your papa. Not by your pastor. Although some of your pastors or people out there and some people watching are not without blame because they know this stuff and they're not teaching it. Okay? They know this and they're not teaching it. Okay? Now, we have to be together. And I ask God, God, why did you send me here 18 years ago? Why did you send me here? I'm Jewish. I was a missionary to the Jewish people, an evangelist to the Jews around the world. Why did you send me and my beautiful wife to Bristol and the Tri-Cities? And God said, son, you've never been down this road before. Son, you've never been down this road before. You see, they need me. The church needs us. They need this messianic congregation. Amen. Did Jesus pray in John 17 that we'd be one? Yeah. Is this one? Yeah. It is. Is this one? This is the one he's talking about. Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah. We can't finish the job, folks, that the world might believe. That the world might believe. John 17. He prayed that we would be one, that the world might believe. The greatest revival the world has ever seen is yet to come because we have not been together. Now the world finally has a chance because of the Messianic Jewish community to be one. The church needs to support this community. This community is critical to the revival of the body of Christ in this region. And God has called us for such a time as this. And if we don't do it, salvation for the Jewish people will come from somewhere else. If we're the church is Esther, and she has been called to save her Jewish people, and if she doesn't do it, that's what you're going to be left with. And that you see what's happening in the Middle East? That's what's going to happen here, and everybody's going to get martyred, and there ain't going to be no revival. But if the church does come together with the Messianic Jewish community and humbles themselves, and the Jews have to humble themselves too towards the Christians. We do. We have to humble ourselves and get over the paganism of Christianity. Christmas, Easter, we have to get over that stuff and love the people. Amen. Doesn't mean we have to compromise. Just means we have to love the people. And be one, like a man and wife. And the two shall, father shall leave his parent, father, man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall cleave together and be one flesh. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This has nothing to do with the message. I just wanted to do that. So let me just say one last thing about Pentecost. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit for 1 second. Yeah. Come on up, Don. We don't have a microphone for her. Oh. Oh, yeah, okay. Dawn's going to add something.
I just want to remind everyone and because you can probably explain better, but we're talking about coming together for such a time as this, and the church coming together and being one to do what God's asked us to do, for the, to bring it back home. And part of the job of the Jewish people is to bring salvation to the world. Yes, we brought spiritual salvation. I'm going to bring it full circle here, but there is a physical salvation. He talked about martyrdom. If the Jewish people are not included in the end times, there is a chance that the Jews are here not just for spiritual salvation, but for physical salvation.
To help the church
to survive
and understand the prophetic plan of God.
So yes, what's happening in the Middle East is happening because there are no Jewish people among them, and they're being slaughtered like lambs. If there was Jewish people, because they kicked all the Jews out, okay, Joe can tell the history of all that, but all the Jewish people of the Middle East have basically gone back to Israel, and there is no salt in the meat over there. There is nothing to save the Jewish people. I mean, nothing to save the Gentiles. It's physically, Jewish people are here as a physical representation of the Messiah. Not that they are the Messiah, but it's a physical, prophetic manifestation of the physical Yeshua. So it's a salvation issue physically, not spiritually, because Yeshua does that for us eternally. But there is salvation physically. There was an ark, and Noah got in it, and he gathered people and saved them physically. And Yeshua talks about that too.
Thank you, dear. And the kinsman redeemer. The Jew is the kinsman redeemer to the church. The believing Jew, the messianic Jew, is the kinsman redeemer to the church. And since the olive tree is our olive tree, we get to determine our olive tree. Okay? So, you know, a lot of people, that's you know, we get to determine our olive tree. But there's millions and billions more Christians than Messianic Jews. So we have to be very humble about how we determine our olive tree. We can't just go to the church and say, it's our olive tree. So bow down and kiss the ring. You know, it doesn't work that way. God made us tiny, and the church is huge. So we have to come humbly to each other, because the church needs us more than they know, and we need the church. The believer. And I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the believers. Okay? So that's the kinsman redeemer effect. Joseph took Mary as his wife, even though the Holy Spirit conceived the baby. But it says in line 1 of Matthew, this is the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What made him a son? He was the son of the Holy Spirit. What made him a son of Abraham? If a woman couldn't make you, if a woman couldn't make you a son of David or a son of Abraham, because the lineage was patrilineal, it went down through the male. That's why Ruth didn't defile the line. That's why Rahab didn't defile the line of the Messiah. If the lineage was male, then Joseph was the kinsman redeemer. He married Mary, who was without a redeemer. She was without a husband. In those days, if you didn't have a husband, you had no inheritance. Amen? Well, I didn't miss it. Did you miss it? Okay. So I'm gonna stop there. I think I've made my point, and I want to talk briefly about the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you to get, and if you're watching, get order the message on the Kinsman Redeemer. I talked all about it last week. It's very deep. You got to listen to it more than once, because you won't get it if you don't really dig into it and study it. And you can watch it online. You don't have to buy it or a CD, but you can watch it online. Just go to our website. But you can, anyway, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the thing. Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we haven't seen a day of Pentecost. Can anyone name a day of Pentecost like Acts 2 since then? Can anybody name a day when the Spirit, 3,000 were added, tongues of fire, you know, that happened on the day of Pentecost? Can you remember one in history? Can you tell me of a date in one year? It was 1872, 1457, when there was a Pentecost where the fire fell. Does anybody know of one? No, we don't. Why not? Because the gifts of the Spirit, which are in Acts 12, in 1 Corinthians 12, were given with the Spirit. When you receive the fullness of the Spirit, the full gospel, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you get the gifts. To each one, is it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says to each one is given a manifestation of the gifts. To each one is given a certain manifestation of the gifts. Okay? Amen. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12:7, if I'm not mistaken. So now that you have Yeshua, Jesus, he's the Passover lamb. You can bring that Passover lamb to Walmart, meet somebody in the aisle, tell them about Jesus. They can get saved in the dog food aisle in Walmart and have Passover because they accepted the Passover lamb. What's more real about Passover? Accepting Yeshua, the Passover lamb, in the dog food aisle at Walmart, or going to a Passover Seder and paying $50 for a seat? Walmart, dog food aisle, right? That's the more real thing. The woman at the well had Passover with Jesus. She sat down and he said, "Woman, if you'd asked me for water, I'd have given you water which you'd have drank and you never would have thirsted again." She didn't see who he was. He is the Passover lamb. So you can have Passover every day of the year. We had a little girl get saved here a few weeks ago and it wasn't on Passover. But she had Passover that day, I'll tell you, boy. Amen? And now she can go bring Passover anywhere in the world, any day of the week. My wife, we love Moon River. Two drifters off to see the world. There's such a lot of world to see. We were two drifters going around the world bringing the gospel. We don't travel so much, but we dream about it. We used to go, we did go, all over the world, and we led thousands to the Lord. Thousands. Now we just sing Moon River, and I preach. And Marty gets, I wanted him to play that, and he didn't know it. That was from God. Yeah, that was the desire of my heart. I didn't ask him to play that. He did it for us. He even said Don's favorite song. He didn't know that. How would he know that? He plays to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people week after week. How would he remember Don's favorite song? And I don't even know if it's Don's favorite song. It is one of her favorite songs. But yeah. It's the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. Once you're filled with the Spirit and you receive the baptism of the Spirit and you're full of the Holy Ghost and you have your gifts and you know what your gifts are and you're trained in them and you know how to use them, whether it's the gift of helps, whether it's the gift of miracles, whether it's the gift of word of knowledge like Joseph and Daniel who interpreted the king's dreams, that's a word of knowledge. Whether it's the gift of prophecy like Elijah or Elisha who said, wheat and barley are going to cost this much the next day to the king. He prophesied, and it was. Or Jesus was a prophet. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you." As a mother hen gathers her chicks, so I've tried to gather you, but you were not willing. You will not see me again until you... And he talked about the stones falling. There will not be one stone left standing in Jerusalem. He prophesied. That's a gift. Miracles. Moses, part of the Red Sea. Spiritual gifts. Healings. We had a little girl. She was healed of a fever here five, six weeks ago. She had a fever. She came in like a wilted flower. And she got healed just like Peter's mother-in-law. Same miracle. God performed the same miracle, did he not? Amen? For those, anyone who was here that night? He performed the same miracle as he did to Peter's mother-in-law. And but you know what it says in the story of, with Jesus in Mark chapter 1? I believe it's Mark 1. It says that people went out and told, and the whole town came to be healed that night. All the sick people of the town, after he cast the fever out of Peter's mother-in-law, the whole town, read it in Mark chapter 1, I believe it is, the whole town came to be healed. But nobody came here to be healed after the Lord used this hand to cast the fever out of that little girl. You know why? Because nobody went out and spread the word. Nobody went out and said, come here and be healed. And so nobody came. Nobody in the town came to get healed. Though these hands have the gift. Wendell, do these hands have the gift? But if you don't tell people, when you see a miracle like Wendell's back, when a 1,200-pound concrete chute lands on the man's chest and he throws it off of his chest, he's the strongest earthly man I know who doesn't lift weights. And he throws a 1,200-pound chute from a concrete mixer truck off of his chest, and he hurts his back and he can't bend, and all of a sudden God touches him right there and he can do touch his toes. But nobody went out and told anybody. Nobody came out, nobody else came to get healed. So if you're not going to walk in the gifts, you at least got to go tell people. Okay? If you have two choices. Walk in the gifts and do it. Perform miracles, signs and wonders, words of knowledge, tongues, healings, helps, whatever. Walk in the gifts or tell people about it. Because you're going to have to stand before God and give an accounting one day. Amen. It's serious. You see God work. It's not me. It's not the preacher. It's not the evangelist. If you see a miracle, go tell Aunt Rhody. Please stand up. I want to bless you. You know, I used to get stressed out about Pentecost. I used to fast and pray and expect the fire to fall and the ceiling to come down and thunder and lightning and, you know, and it didn't happen. I used to get really uptight and agitated. This holiday used to make me really nervous. It was like baptism. I baptized more people in the Jordan River than I have anywhere else in the world. I used to get really stressed out about it because, wow, Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist baptized here, you know. I used to get really, I have to fast. I have to get holy, really holy to baptize in the Jordan River. And I would ruin it for people because I'd be so stressed out. And then God said to me, Joe, did I tell you to fast and pray about baptism, or did I just tell you to baptize people? Just baptize. He says, chill out, eat, and baptize. Once he did that, I have the best time baptizing people in the Jordan River now. It's fun. And you know what? If the fire doesn't fall, it's okay. Because I got the fire in me, and I can take it out. I've cast out demons on Mount Carmel. I've cast out demons in Needham, Massachusetts. I've cast out demons in Grantham, Pennsylvania. I've healed, the Lord's healed the sick through these hands in Elk Park, North Carolina. The Lord's healed the sick through these hands in Bristol, Tennessee, and all over the world. And people have been saved. Amen. And Pentecost and Passover are happening every day all over the place, but we should still do the holidays just like we celebrate Thanksgiving once a year, but we give thanks every day. We should still keep the feasts as a memorial of what God's word, it's important, what he did. If we lose it, then we've lost our foundation. Please stand, I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai vayishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha. Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom and happy Shavuot, happy Pentecost. God bless you all. Thank you for coming. Please tell a friend, come back and visit. Don, did you have something to say?
Yes, just a couple announcements. I didn't talk about tomorrow.
Oh, yes.